Hurry up, Barb. We were waiting on you.
I'm standing.
We were waiting on you. All right, I'd like to call the October 22nd, 2019 meeting to order. I request a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Joel, roll call, please.
Bo Miller.
Present.
Mark Sattler.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Roll call complete.
All right. Approval of the October 8th, 2019 meeting minutes. I can move to accept those. I did not see any changes in there.
I'll second.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Fiscal officer's report.
Starting with deposits, 160-2019 through 177-2019, totaling $20,016.70. Fund status report, $589,707.92 in Star, Ohio, $198,497.59 in checking account. And then payments, electronic 150-2019 through 152-2019, and then warrant numbers 17882 through 18126, totaling $97,992.31, with Henry Bergman getting paid $28,707.84, being the second payment for the chip seal program for the township roads.
And that was the last payment to them, correct, Joel?
Correct.
I move for approval as stated, or Joel, do you need me to repeat?
I think it's okay.
Okay, I move for approval as stated by Joel.
I can second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried. Soon I'll get you guys, the department heads, the planning documents so they can start plugging in numbers for next year. Kevin got some stuff today. Tony and I met also, so we have a plan for his year end. And then, of course, you know, he'll get his as well. The fund, the general fund, and the smaller ones I'll just complete and then gift you all to review, since those are, yeah, less specific, I think. I'm good.
Wow. Thank you, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Chief.
Well, good evening, everyone. Temperature's changing, so again, make sure your smoke detector's batteries have been changed. If you need a smoke detector, let us know. We'll be happy to install them. We have them available from the Red Cross, and we can give you a safety inspection of your home as well. So share that to your neighbors, and we're happy to help out. Well, we had our open house, although the weather wasn't great. We still had a pretty good showing of personnel that came, and I think everyone had a good time. We did get some news media coverage that also was able to cover a little bit of the introduction of our levy to the residents. And this morning we had our FEMA evaluators were here to evaluate our participation for the Davis-Bessey exercise. This year's participation was a simulation of an emergency worker having an injury, having to be treated as a contaminated worker, and then transported to St. Charles. So that went this morning. We had a real nice showing of personnel for that activity today, which is a little tough, you know, in the mornings for most people are working. This Saturday is the blood drive from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. here in the back hall. And we'll push out to the school media here this week yet, and that way it hits all the parents. I don't know how a Saturday one will do. We feel sometimes we get a lot of teachers that are just coming off work and then stopping by, but who knows? They've been, so far the Red Cross has been extremely pleased with, you know, for our size, what our participation has been. So, other than that, runs have slowed down a little bit, which is a good thing, and that's fine. Training has picked up. Again, we still have, and we will for a while, we have five people in fire training. Some it's their first training, and others it's additional training take them at a different skill level. The last thing that I have for everyone, for you trustees, is Jim Wolf is requesting a leave of absence, which I would like to extend that to him. He is now the deputy chief for City of Oregon, and with his new responsibilities and everything and just learning his job and getting his feet wet, just need to see how things will happen. Understandably, his main focus and responsibility is training for Oregon Fire, and so he would not be able to attend any training of ours at this point that we would have. So, you know, that's his primary job and primary responsibility, so.
I'll, mind if I read this out loud?
You can.
Okay, so this is from Captain Jim Wolf with the Drusilla Township Fire Department. This is Chief Barcelletti. I'm requesting a leave of absence from my position at Drusilla Township for a period not less than 30 days and no more than 180 days. Currently, I'm adjusting to the new position with the Oregon Fire and Rescue and need to concentrate on my professional career. I fully understand the position I'm putting the department in. However, I cannot dedicate the time necessary to fulfill my duties at this time. With my new position, as you know, I will no longer be able to attend regularly scheduled training and will have limited availability for emergency response. I'd like to speak to you with the other command staff and come up with a consensus on how we move forward with maintaining positive influence for the other members. I will stay in touch and let you know how my transition is going when my leave will come to an end. Jim Wolf. So, you want us to accept the leave of absence?
Yeah, I just wanted you to acknowledge it.
Okay.
I'm accepting it as the chief.
Okay.
And wanted you to be aware of it. I don't know that it takes a...
Yeah, need our approval.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to be sure you were informed. So, one of the main responsibilities Captain Wolf had for us was our fire training. So, with that, Joe Pertee was willing to step back up into that responsibility and lead and guide our us in that training, which he is a certified instructor. So, we've kind of backfilling a little bit, and we wish him well, and we'll see how things go.
I think he'll be back once he gets everything.
I do too. Situated. I think once he gets settled, he'll be able to contribute some. Yes. That's all I have. Unless, if you notice, the flags are at half staff. That is for the soldier that was killed in the training. There were three soldiers recently killed in a training accident, and the governor had requested the flags to be down at half staff. So.
Chief, one thing I had, and Mark said that we talked about last week, I don't recall, yeah. And the only reason I'm bringing it up today is I did see the bill for the BioCare.
Yes.
I don't know if there's anybody we can shop that around. That was, it showed that we had 10 people went through the physicals. Mm-hmm. I think there was 11 that did the fit test. And it was you know, $5,400 for that.
Yep.
And if you look at that, it goes into a lot of, they give them per diem, overnight stay.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that in there. I don't know if maybe next year, if there's something better, more reasonable for us.
One of the problems that I have with it is that we get a one day and we get only a few hours to allow our personnel to do this. And unfortunately it doesn't, we're not hitting everyone, and that's mainly for the fit testing and the pulmonary function. That's really the first and foremost concern. But you know, I applaud the trustees that have allowed us to, you know, take advantage of the physicals. I am with you. I certainly am going to look back at our agency that we used to do pre-employment physicals and see if they might not be able to be a little bit more competitive, as well as I may reach out to the two main hospitals. They both have occupational health, and they may want to be more competitive.
Yeah.
The advantage that I could see is now we can have our firefighters schedule their appointments and get it, that way we can get more of them done, mm-hmm. and we might get a more comprehensive.
Yeah, we could give them a 3-week window or a month window to say, hey,
this is it.
Yeah.
You know, you schedule it and you go and you get this taken care of. And yes.
It's definitely a great idea. I like the fact that we do it. I just, when I saw the number of participants and the price, I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's pretty pricey.
Yeah.
Chief, I agree that reaching out to the two hospitals nearby would be a good. I mean, they do a respirator fit testing on a regular basis for their own people. So
I'm just going to I'm gonna try that. We're going to shop for the best deal that's going to work best for us. And I think in the long run, it
get more people.
Yeah. And that's really what it's, you know, is more important to us.
Perfect.
Very good.
Anybody anything for the chief? Chief, thank you very much. Rec department, Mike is not here, so we'll move on to zoning. Linda?
I passed out the zoning updates. I had three permits, one for a garage, one for a pond, and there's going to be a cell tower update on Kuzno, the cell tower on Kuzno, 833. I did three violations, one on La Fountain for a lighted structure that's that Montree property that has a small building on it. East actually is where they're dumping, they're using it as a dumping ground. Mm. And then Standard, there's a lot of blight, and that's his second one. I wrote him up last year, too. You have an updated Excel sheet that has everything from 2019. Yellow should be resolved or working at resolved. Sometimes they're resolved and then it turns around the other way. But that's the most updated I have at this point. Blighted structures, we got the house down on Main Street, but we need to make sure that I know Joel doesn't have a bill yet, but I'll try to contact Jensen tomorrow and see if he's going to give us a bill or he just wants us to use the price that was quoted. What would you rather have? You'd rather have a bill?
We need a bill of some kind.
All right. So we can take care of that, and then we can send a letter to the auditor to make sure that that gets on the tax rolls. the house at 323 North has been an issue for a while. I've written them up, I think this is the third year. It's a relatively new house. It's close to the park, north in Rialto. It covers that whole end of that area there. And the door is now open. Nobody's lived there in the 3 years. I think there's two two or three boats, a camper. Actually, one of the boats is on another property. It's owned by somebody different than the Dotson. Eileen Dotson is listed as the owner. So, just letting you be aware of that. I don't know if that's a house that we want to look at. It's not that bad of a house. It's a relatively new house, but it hasn't been touched. And it is back taxes of $3,100.
When that house was built, it wasn't built to Lucas County code. So they basically condemned the house until it was brought up to building specs. Nobody ever, they tried to occupy it for a few days and they were removed. And nobody's ever been in it since. That's been there for a long time. The outside looks very nice. I haven't been inside, but yeah, it was, that might be something to run by the building department, because there was something structural with it that they wouldn't pass.
So, and that's a pretty big property since it goes from road to road along that whole thing. I think we mowed, did you guys mow it last year?
Might have been last year or the year before last. We mowed it here in the last year or two.
Yeah. It's on the list to be mowed also for this year. We would approve that. And then I tried to break down the list of blighted structures. So I got La Fountain on there again, and then I got the Corduroy, the Becerra property used to be Becerra Pizza. It's the concrete structure. That structure is really in disrepair. I know I talked to Tony about it last year because the roof is caved in the back half. So if anything ever happened, there's still, I don't get why and how, but there still is a light on in the second story window. Nobody lives there. There's like four trailers around there. There's piles of wood. And I believe I looked up the back taxes on it. And I'm thinking it's something like 21,000 in back taxes.
Wow.
So it's never going away unless we possibly do something with it.
And that's
so,
going to be an expensive one to tear down.
That concrete block, yeah. So I just thought I'd throw it out there. I mean, we have kind of sold some of the properties that we got back from the land bank. So I'd say that's up to you to think about what you might want to do next and where you might want to go. Blighted lots, so that Dotson property is part of that. The Dotson property, the house is on one end and the other lot is a different parcel. So today, and there's at least $1,500 back taxes on that lot. So I thought I might as well go send an evaluation to the land bank to see if they'll take it and at least start that process. So I did start that today. The other one we need to think about is the 302 and 28, it's 302 and 268 East. That's actually the back side of the Briney property that we took down last year. People have been using it as a burn pile area, so it's just the pile's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So I think, Mark, you saw it. And the furniture on it, mattresses.
Yeah, I had a complaint from a neighbor.
And yeah. Let's see, there's, I think all total, because she actually owns six lots, she hasn't been paying anything on it. I'm pretty sure she's back.
Is that right? She's got over 25,000?
Yes, 25,000 when you put all the lots together.
Wow.
So that's,
I don't
not
think that's
going to
get cleared up either.
That is, I've already done a referral to the land bank for that property. So I don't know if we want to take care of that, get a dumpster, clean it up.
Rich, I want to make sure I'm clear. The dumping is being done on the brining property, and we tore the house down.
Yes.
We don't own the property.
No.
Do we have the right to clean it up if we
yes,
don't, if it's not yet ours?
Yes, because we did the tall grass, and we can do the same kind of thing that we did with the houses.
What, charges a lien, but probably never recover it.
Correct. So we would want to make a motion to do that.
Well, it is an issue for the neighbors. I mean, I've gotten
a couple of
complaints. They're very concerned about the trash that's accumulating, the tires and everything else. And
I mean, just the mattresses, too.
Yeah.
There's at least two or three.
Right. It just looks absolutely awful. So, I guess if we don't clean it up, nobody else is going to.
Correct.
So how do we go about that? Do we get a bid on that, or is that something that, Kevin, is that something that we're able to do with a dumpster?
If we want to get the dumpsters, we can pack it into the dumpsters. It's debris where, with the fire department's permission, if we pulled all the garbage out of it and burn off the brush part of it, or we take, last time I was down here, most probably going to have pretty good sized dumpster or two dumpsters to pack it, because when you're dealing with brush, it's like trying to push box springs.
Right.
It's just
pops right up again.
You know, it, how far behind are they on the taxes there?
It's got to be years.
Yeah, 21.
So would we be better just trying to take the property?
That's already in process.
Then hoping one of the neighbors want to buy it with the condition that they clean the lot. We could go in and mow everything around it and dress it up. The only thing it would be left, because we had the well abandoned when we took the house, correct? The well was abandoned on that property when we had the house taken down.
Mm-hmm.
So we could go in and mow everything. And if nobody's interested, then we'd have to clean it up. But yes, eventually, with everything, and this has been going on for a long time, and the pile has disappeared a couple times because they burn it and what have you, but it's going to become an infestation with coons or something in that area.
Rats and everything else.
It's going to start causing housing problems.
Right. Well, yeah, we're
but
already
we
getting
we can clean
points.
It up or whichever, but to stop it, I would say, we try to get the property and get rid of the property, and then we got somebody to go back to and say, hey, your lot needs addressed at this point. So
you're recommending that we don't
either
clean up the trash?
Either way, we're most probably going to have to clean it up.
Right. I am concerned because we are getting complaints from neighbors.
And the land bank won't happen until spring.
Yeah.
At least.
Tony, would you be interested if, how is it? Could it be burnt?
I have not seen it in quite a while.
I've
never seen it.
So you'd have to take things off. You'd have to get the
mattress.
Yeah,
take the mattress.
Separate it.
Yeah, we'd separate it.
And then what do we do with the tires? We can't put them in the dumpster. Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait till the city of Toledo does their tire recycling. And
see if we can get one next year, tire recycling. We haven't did one for, about 5 years now?
Right.
Most probably four.
Yeah.
Something like that. And that's something that occasionally Lucas County Solid Waste, we found out after we'd done our first one that they have grant money available occasionally for that. But they always want to go to the zoo and here and there. And the hauler that usually does it for them says they get 10 times the tires out here as they ever would at the zoo.
Oh, yeah.
And ours is done in basically one day. The zoo, they may do 2 days and never get that many tires.
Barb?
Does Track County take tires like that?
They'll charge you.
Charge you for tire?
Mm-hmm. Because they're paying to get rid of them, too.
Do you want to take Tony down there, then, and take a look at it? And you could always get some bids from different people to clean it up, the trash, and then maybe burn the wood. Does that make sense?
Well, we could do that or get a price on what we figure would be an adequate-sized dumpster. Because if there isn't a super lot, we could have a dumpster in there, and as we sort it out of the pile, it goes right in the dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
The tires, I'll hold on to, like we do the ones that throw it out beside the road and whatever until I can get rid of them.
We can always hide them around the back.
Do we have a limit on how many tires we can hold?
That we keep here? I'm sure there's some kind of code on that, but we've never come up with that many tires.
What is it, Linda?
We've never exceeded.
Was it five?
No.
No.
I thought it was.
Hazardous waste to haul down the road, they classify them no more than 10 tires.
10, okay.
And seeing that we're not hauling them all at once would be fine.
I got you. That's only for hauling, okay.
Yes.
All right.
We hide them around the back by the cars.
Okay, well, I would feel better if we were trying to address
and
that.
I can get you a price on cleaning that up just to see what they charge.
See if they charge.
Okay.
Then we can see what a dumpster would cost us.
Okay.
Have that you'll have that together by the next meeting.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll send them a letter noting that if they don't clean it up, which they won't, they didn't do anything, that they'll be charged.
Chief.
Could we possibly also maybe, I know signs are signs, but, it is illegal to do dumping. So obviously the waste is coming from maybe some of the neighbors in the region are dumping there. But I don't know if there was a sign there that just quotes the code that this is a violation. It's a $500 fine and it might slow it down just for a moment.
It won't hurt.
We could also talk to the deputy and say, please drive by this. And if you see an activity, then the township wants action taken.
Do we have those signs?
I was just going to ask Kevin. Kevin, we got any of those? No?
No, I could most probably get some made up.
Yeah.
County or something. But it'd basically be like where you pass the do not litter signs on.
Yeah. I suspect we'd be able to find a few places to use them.
Put them at the beginning and end of every road.
Kevin.
So there are three lots behind that Dotson property that I did not add to the tall grass noxious weed list in July that I would like to have added to that. So that's the 304 and 266 Rialto. We cut his last year, pool, and then Cicida, he's cutting his lot, and then right behind Dotson is TJ Properties. So I would like, if you want to put them all together along with that 302 and 268 to give me permission to do a tall grass cut and the cleanup of 302 and 268, or if you want to separate them. Or if you want to wait.
Wait, you said 302 and 268, them are the cleanups?
Yeah.
Okay, so do we agree we're going to wait on that one?
Well, I think we're going to wait till we hear back from Kevin and the chief about what they propose. Yeah.
Yeah.
A low cost way to approach
it. But I could at least send them a letter because you have them so many days.
Oh, yeah.
So the letter just says clean it up within this many days, and then we can go in. So if I send them the letter.
Well, I would.
Okay,
yes,
I would not do anything. That's what I was. Okay, I was when you said it. So you need a motion to send the letters.
Letter.
For 302 and 268 East, along with all these in the boxes here. 304.
And.
The first and all, three.
Everything except the shaded one. Now, what about the one below the. The
first.
The
just
table?
The. I'm
324.
Sorry. The pool property and the TJ properties. The rest we've already done.
Okay, so
no. Dotson's been addressed.
Dotson
okay.
has been. I looked it up and I'm like, okay, did that one.
Okay.
So you're looking for a motion to approve that Kevin and the chief come back with a recommendation on 302 and 268 East and approval to issue letters. Well, to.
Everybody gets letters.
To 302 268 East, as well as pool and TJ properties.
Yep.
Okay.
Did you read those addresses though?
304 and 266 Rialto for the pool property, and 317 North Street for the TJ properties.
That's tall grass.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Does that sound good, Linda?
Yep.
Okay, that was your motion, correct, Mark?
Correct.
Okay. Yes.
I second that.
Roll call, Bo Miller?
Yes.
Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, court cases still have not had any resolution. The VZO, we had a meeting last Wednesday, and they upheld the violations of all servicing and repair of trucks shall be inside a building, and the hours of operation should be between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. So we're in a mode of them filing in civil court.
Who's filing?
Loose Trucking. Along with that, I had some discrepancies between the land use and the resolution, the zoning resolution that you passed and the zoning resolution that Bill Harbert had. For some reason, he had it right and then he didn't have it right. Because we went in and made some clerical corrections as far as the conditional use and special use changed. We changed the name. So we tweaked it and we fixed those areas that didn't get changed. And then when it came back, some other areas that had been changed went back the other way. So I think he pulled one out. So he's redoing that right now to make sure that everything that was approved the last time we did conditional uses is correct. So that was some issues that we found last Wednesday. So those are being corrected.
Do you believe that's going to need to come back for our?
It shouldn't. You would approve. We have what was approved.
Okay.
And it just had.
And
to
you believe
come
what was approved was correct?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's just getting it into the book in so many different areas caused an issue. And land bank. I had deposits for the three parcels that you approved last month. And I had a question on the larger parcels that we recommended possibly selling. What are we going to do? We need to make a decision if we're going to go with.
Those were the ones in Bono, weren't they?
Bono, and then there were some on. Was there some on Holly?
I got to find Kenny's, what he wanted to do with, you know, so I'll have it found. I just been working on the greenhouses a lot and other stuff too, so I'll get that for the next meeting.
So, sorry, let me ask, are the parcels that we're talking about, are they buildable lots?
Yeah.
They are? Okay. So the question is whether we go through a realtor.
Which one? Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Remember Miss Rosencrantz right. was in here? And right. presented all that, what she thought they were worth,
right? Okay.
How she thought we should sell them, you know.
On those, since we've been back and forth with those, would we be better off in the long run to maybe just do an auction with a minimum bid, and instead of possibly sitting on them for a couple of years? Something else to think about. I didn't think about when we talked about it a couple months ago. It may be a quicker way to get it off our hands, but yet we don't want to give it away. That's the reason we were talking about going through a realtor, just as another option. Because it may be cheaper to sell that way, but you may also have no interest in it at an auction either.
Do we have any experience auctioning properties?
No.
Okay.
No, we never did that.
Only contents?
Contents, but, you know, equipment we had, trucks, stuff like that.
Because there's going to be a cost associated with that, no matter what, whether they sell or they don't, yeah.
Just another
option. How does the sheriff do their auctions when they auction properties? I don't know. I know that they do that.
No idea.
I tell you what, let's my opinion on it, let's get, we know what Kenny originally offered. And I think you were going to talk to him again, Dave, you said, right?
Well, I got to find the paperwork to see what he did offer.
Let's try and let's re-present that next meeting and see if we can, that way they're both in front of us. We can compare apples to apples. And we can look at it that way, and then maybe hopefully we can make a decision at the next meeting. So.
Awesome. So things I've been working on, land use. I talked to Bill and Bill Herbert at the Planning Commission, Lucas County. And there are some planners that have retired, and then they're opening an office to bring interns in. So we might be able to work with them to work on our land use plan. So that's just in the works.
So. When you say land use, are you talking about the comprehensive plan?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That we've kind of started, but then kind of got stuck. Junk vehicle removal, I gave you my first go around. You see there is 13 steps that I have to go through. But I guess the key is the classification of a junk vehicle is a, and this is Ohio Revised Code. I noted the section there. It only has to be 3 model years or older and apparently inoperable and or extensively damaged, missing wheels, tires, engine, or transmission.
And with the same thing about current plate?
Nope, that's it. That's their definition now.
It doesn't matter if it's plated or not. If it's not operable, and it's at least 3 years old.
You're driving a junk vehicle. It's older than 3 years old.
Mine's still operable.
Oh, well, but it's junk, though, because it's older than 3 years old.
So, still got a little bit of work to do on it, but at least I got it that far.
This does look very good, Linda. This is very nice that you can follow the process and track progress in the process
as
well.
That's the key.
Yeah, I think this will be a very useful tool.
And then I did a lot of site visits, and a lot of that's noted on the Excel sheet that I gave you.
Yes, you've been quite busy.
Been around a lot, and then keeping track of it all is pretty difficult, so... That's all I have at this point. Any questions?
Well, let me thank you for all of the work that you're doing. This is a very long list.
Yeah.
But thank you for all your efforts.
You know, at least half the people have responded. I wish the other half would, but.
Okay, nothing else for Linda? Thank you, Linda. All right. Kevin, maintenance department. He's not even ready.
All right. One thing that had been brought up to date on with the state looking to fix back in Metzger's Marsh on Bonnell Road is contractors have been reaching out as far as the weight limit on the road. Using it, obviously, that is their only road. He uses a haul road back in there. That one section of dike down through there, they're going to raise that whole dike, extend it out, and raise it 2 foot higher on the creek side. So there's going to be a lot of big rock going in and out. What we've done in the past, which I was contacted by Lucas County engineers today, and their recommendation is what we've typically done with haul roads, is the company has to video, walk and video the whole road, supply a copy to the engineer's office at the end of the project. Us and the engineer and the contractor meet and walk the whole road, and we mark out any bad spots in the road, which the contractor at that point is responsible to either repair or replace. So I guess I'm looking towards what your guys' opinion is. I personally don't think it's an issue as long as it stays dry. If we get really wet, then obviously the base underneath that is not made to be having 70,000 pounds constantly running up and down that road, hauling rock in and out. The county felt okay with going this direction, but since we just paid to have that surface put on. That was their question. My question was, is why didn't the state try to bid this out prior to the project starting? Because it's really gonna affect the road, because once they go over the hill down there and start taking them trucks around that corner, they're gonna peel that surface right off down there.
Is there any chance that they can include as part of their project the repairs to repair or replacement of the road surface that will, do you have reason to believe will be compromised?
I don't believe so right now that we'd have any issues, but they will be responsible for any damage done to the road.
So what I'm asking is, can we get them to agree that, or are you saying that they already?
They have to agree to that before we sign off on it, to say, yes, you can use it as a haul road.
Okay. Then how, who decides whether the road is damaged when they're all done?
It'll be between, unless you guys want to walk the road with them, it'll be up to me, the county inspector, and the contractor. There'll be somewhere on the road either way, because that project's not even projected to end until after January. So we'll be, hopefully not, but we should be plowing snow and stuff like that on our surface, which on the tar and chip road, there'll be some minor damage starting with the plowing, but there shouldn't be any sinkholes, rutting, excessive wear that they're running in the same track all the time. All that stuff will be taken into consideration.
Right. Well, I'm satisfied that you will be part of that decision.
Yeah, as long as the doctor releases me to walk that road.
Kevin, can we put the load limit signs up though? 12 ton?
There's already one there now.
Is there one there?
But if we give them permission to haul on the road, then they'll haul on that road, whatever weights they're hauling coming off of Route 2, then they're responsible for anything done to the road from that point. Because once you let them do a haul road, you could most probably set a specific tonnage, but I'd have to find out from the county to start with.
I think we better do that, because that it's gonna be wet down there, and they're gonna there's no base there. I hate to do it to a contractor, but it's our road.
Jim?
Just a quick, who's funding this job, the state or the township?
State.
Okay, because the contractors are gonna add that in their bid. I just was hoping the township wasn't picking up that tab. Mm-hmm.
What you find out about that load limit? That's my opinion. I don't want them going out there with 20 ton.
Well, there was talks of semis. So there could be as high as 80,000 pounds. So
yeah, because they'll probably haul from Woodville. They won't haul from Kramer.
Okay. Well, I'll check back with the county on that, see what kind of restrictions, if any, we can put on it. And okay, and I will let you know at the next meeting, which that project bids this Thursday, I believe.
Thursday.
So we'll know who the contractor is either way, but that's their only way in and out. It just depends on how much they're going to charge the state to go in and out of it. So
You've been through Ottawa County in the winter. You know, they put theirs load limits on almost everything.
Yeah, they do the frost law postings. Okay. The cutting of the lots, to be honest right now, with the tractor we have from the county, I don't know how far we're going to get on that. One, it's an open tractor. Two, the clutch is sort of touchy on it. So I definitely don't want to put it on a lot where there's obstacles. But if there's no time limit on the ending date between what we can get in with that after we get our roads caught back up, I'll mow the lots, and if we get our other tractor back where the operator's a little more protected inside, a lot of them we can mow later in the year as long as they're in the deadline on it. And we don't get snow.
Not a deadline.
Okay. The big truck, They're gonna be starting on that most probably next week, just doing some paint touch-up on the bed and redoing the back of the box to protect it from the road salt. So they'll be doing some cleanup on that possibly next week. Paul, we did pick up the new freezer, or I should say they picked up the new freezer today. They're painting the outside doors right now, trying to get them cleaned up a little bit. The door goes into the trustee's office for sure. Next year we're going to have to replace whole frame glass, doors, everything, just how bad the bottom's getting on it. So.
Can be junk.
Cemetery, they did one funeral last Friday. Leveled two of the real bad tall headstones that were in there that were leaning really bad. And hopefully sometime in the next couple weeks, we have 3-footers to get in before winter yet. And that's all I have for now, if you guys have something for me to relay on.
Nothing else.
Dave?
Nope.
Good. All right. Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Okay, trustees' reports.
No updates on cemetery.
Okay. No new hall rentals. Roads, Dave, anything?
No, not really. Okay.
All right, we'll move on to old business. Repairs of the hall.
I think Kevin's tried to call her, and I have to. We don't get the answer. I think she doesn't want to do it, so I think we're going to have to get some bids. And I think that's all we have to do, Kevin, is knock that brick off the top, don't we, have the doors, and then have somebody come in and put some tin or vinyl or something up there, right?
Yeah, and I never seen it to be as big of a safety hazard as she was talking, because the condition it is now, it's been that way for a long time, so I don't see an issue of pushing that out till spring, then when the weather's decent, have somebody do it if that's what we want to do with it.
It's almost too late to get anybody. Everybody's so busy, but at least we can maybe get some estimates to see what it's going to cost.
Did we agree to a bid from her? Or
yeah, but yeah.
And she's not. Did it have a time expiration? Is that expired?
I've tried to call her for the last month, and I don't get no.
Do we have any obligation to, you know, provide some notification to her that we're?
I've called her. I called her yesterday.
Okay.
I get nothing back. I says, please call me. We'll like to know what's going on.
Okay.
I don't get anything, so we'll just find somebody else.
Okay. All right.
Do you want me to leave that one on for a while? Or just remove it, and we'll get on it in the spring.
Yeah, maybe. Or
okay. I'll just mark them and remove that one. Just
if I get time, I'll look at it and we'll see what happens. And, okay. But I don't think anything will get done.
Okay, Brown Road and Turnall.
That got done last week, and they dug it all the way through Stevie's there, for the Turnall Road drainage, and then they dug in along Brown Road there, and it went to 1, 2, 3, about 4 houses, I think. It looks real nice.
Good. Good. All right.
So we'll probably get that bill here with this week. I think he was making it out.
And that's coming out of stormwater, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right, Joel.
Joel, if you could make a copy of that, put it in my box, and I'll forward it to Brian Miller, unless you want to.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Just we send the bill to him to have him pay it directly, or they reimburse us?
We pay for it, and then they reimburse us.
Okay. I'll have to drive by there because I see what that looks like over there.
It looks really nice.
Good. Ditch petition. Move any further on that, Dave?
No, I got a couple signatures on the, and then I, on the Wilhelm one, but I talked to the engineer in Ottawa County today, and he just got back from vacation. He says they haven't, him and Panuski haven't did anything with Wood County yet, really, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Dike updates.
Okay, dike update. This afternoon I had a call with Tim Sheeter from the Metro Parks, and this is brand new information. So they have, hopefully everybody knows, the Metro Park brought in their own engineer to take a look at the Howard Marsh Metro Park dike, the legacy dike that we were concerned about. He does not have the final report from the engineer, but he has the preliminary information.
The engineer echoes the core, our own Corps of Engineer report. We don't have our final report yet either, but we have our preliminary, and their engineer echoes our the Army Corps of Engineers. Tim did say that their engineer thought it was not quite as severe as the Army Corps of Engineers stated, but in any case, they pretty much are in alignment. We will get, Tim has agreed that he will share that full report with us once it's available. They had a conference call this morning with the engineer and the Army Corps of Engineers specifically about the concept of the spur dike that you gentlemen had recommended as a low cost rapid solution. There was complete agreement between the Metro Parks engineer and the Army Corps of Engineers that in putting that spur dike in, connecting the legacy dike right there at the intersection of Howard Road and Route 2, and then running that back on an angle to connect with the new dike that's inside the Metro Park to hold back their marsh waters. They agreed that would reduce the risk. They were kind of struggling with, they have a bid threshold, and they ended up reducing the scope of the project so that they could get the cost under that bid threshold. If they didn't, they would have to go through a public bid process, which takes a minimum of 60 days and all of that, and which means that we'd never get it done this year. They reduced the scope. This afternoon, they cut a purchase order to the George Grottle Company. So that will be done very, very quickly. It's going to be a 3-to-1 slope on both sides. The elevation will be 577, which is the same as the entrance road. It's a 6-foot top. They reduced it from an 8-foot to a 6-foot. It will connect to the legacy dike at Howard Road just before the bridge, as recommended by the George Grottle Company. The dike, it will not go in a straight line, this spur dike, but it's going to wrap around the tree plantings to try to minimize the number of trees affected, which that's all fine. I asked him, when did he think the spur dike target completion date was? And he said, oh, that's as soon as possible. I said, are we talking about getting that done before the end of November? He says, that is our goal.
Cool.
So we expect to have that'll protect that reach number 6, that will protect our township. The only property that will not be protected by that is the mansion that's inside of that space between the legacy dike and the new dike.
Maybe one of us should go and tell these people what's going on.
That's probably a good point. Yeah,
because I think they're getting out that Kepler's out of there too.
I would.
We also talked about, I told them that we were very, very pleased that they're moving so quickly. That's a big relief for our township and our residents. He did indicate that in early 2021, construction will begin on phase 2 of the Howard Marsh. That's the property on the west side of Howard. And I believe that also shows up as reach number 3 on our Army Corps of Engineers analysis. They're planning on using a spur dike over there to give the same kind of double protection, so that they'll build their own internal dike and then connect that dike with the legacy dike, so that there'll be, if the legacy dike were to breach, it would stop at their new dike that's inside. So that's all good. The one thing that he commented about was that I did ask him if there was any plans to connect phase 2 with phase 1, and he said no. What they've discovered is that phase 2 elevation is actually higher than phase 1 elevation, and if they were to connect them, then all the water would drain from the new phase 2 into the existing phase 1. So There will not be any connection at all between those two. There'll be two completely separate marsh areas.
You weren't here, Mark, but they had talked about the old stream used to go through their creek. They were going to actually build a bridge and connect them.
I asked him about that, and he said that the cost of that bridge and rebuilding the road would be prohibitive. Yeah. And then they were considering using some kind of a tile to connect it, but then they discovered that because the elevation was higher, all the water would just drain east anyway. So they said, no, they're going to have to be two completely separate enclosed marsh areas. Question?
Are you talking about phase two? Is that on the west side of Howard?
Yes, yes. Adjacent to the Wolf Farm?
Right.
Yeah.
So was there any talk of fixing the legacy dikes?
I did talk with him. I said, this is a really good immediate solution.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, longer term, I think we really need to talk about, you know, we need to have some ongoing discussions about the legacy dike, because I don't think that it's satisfactory to simply wait until the legacy dike collapses and breaches. I said, I think we're, you know, this gives protection to our township in case there is a dike failure, but longer term, we probably need to look at repairs to that legacy dike. And he said, I understand.
He does? He said that?
Well, he didn't say yes, of course. He said,
well, even to okay, say what he's, even, okay. What, even to say that.
Well.
He's always been pretty, yeah, you know. Well.
He's probably sick of talking to Mark, so he's probably just telling him.
he and I talk weekly, yeah. So I told him I would be reporting on this tonight. Tomorrow morning, he's going to report to his board, at 8:30.
I wish, I can't be there.
So. Yeah, I can't really either.
Boy, I want to be there so bad, but I got to go to that Davis Bessie, so.
So anyway, that's good news.
Thank you.
Well, it's not just me. It's all everybody working together, so thank you.
You've been talking to him here lately, so.
All right. Number five, I guess that we kind of rolled five in Metro Parks. That kind of rolled into Correct. The dike update, so we'll skip that one. Okay. So the 911 consolidation. So there's a meeting. Is that Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday at 6 o'clock. So let me recap for everybody. County commissioners have proposed to consolidate 911 services. There's six public service answering points throughout Lucas County. They want to consolidate all into one so that all calls would be answered in downtown Toledo. They've proposed a committee made up of five individuals. One would be the chair of the county commissioners, one would be the mayor of Toledo, the largest city, one would be the trustee chair of Sylvania Township, the largest township. One would be a designated trustee from all of the other townships, and that individual's been elected. That's Andy Glenn, and Thursday night is the meeting to brief Andy Glenn so he can represent all the other townships. And the fifth representative is all of the other smaller communities. They have to get together and select an individual who will represent all of them. So there'll be five people, five seats, and if three or more seats vote to consolidate, then the consolidation proceeds, the committee of five is disbanded, and then the consolidation is supposed to be complete within a year, and then the financial impact phases in over a four-year period. The financial impact for Jerusalem Township, currently we're paying about $10,000 a year, 10 or 12, to Oregon for fire dispatch services. Under the consolidation, they say that there would be a 33% economy of scale savings, but all of the non-emergency dispatch costs would be allocated back from the county to all of the other communities. So with the 33% economy of scale savings, our expense would go from $10,000 to about $30,000 a year. If the consolidation does not go forward, the county commissioners have indicated that they are going to still proceed with charging back all of the non-emergency dispatch costs, but there will not be a 33% economy of scale savings, so our costs will be more like in the ballpark of $45,000 to $50,000 a year. So that's a $35,000 to $45,000 a year increase for us. And there's a lot of other communities that are going to be seeing that same kind of increase, and there's a number of communities that are saying, we have no idea how we're going to pay for that. So that's a, you know, a rough outline of the whole 911 consolidation. There's a lot of concern because this is, Lucas County will see their costs go down by $3.5 million a year when costs are allocated back to all of the other communities. Sylvania Township will see their costs go down by $750,000 a year. The city of Toledo will see their costs go down by $750,000 a year. Well, there's three votes. And Sylvania Township has already, I think, indicated that they plan to vote for the consolidation. In their defense, what trustees could say, oh, no, no, sorry, I don't want a $750,000 a year savings. How could they say that to their township members? So, but I guess what we really want to hear from the community about is, you know, on Thursday, you know, we'll be advising Andy Glenn what our position is. He'll be taking all of that in from all of the other townships so that he can determine how to best represent the township and whether he votes yes or no. I don't think that's a hard decision. That's, you know, I haven't heard anybody say yes on the, from any of the townships. I guess the big question is, a lot of people are very concerned about how this has been structured, how your costs are going to go up, and if you say no and try to defeat it, your costs are going to go up even more. Well, that kind of feels like a big stick. A lot of people are not very happy about the way this is going about. It's being rushed. It's going too fast. It's threatening to small communities. And a number of comments have been, why can't we work through this in a similar fashion as the water arrangements have been, where you work through until you reach an agreement that everybody can live with. Instead, some communities feel like they're being threatened, that if they say no, their costs are going to go up even more.
We're kind of stuck. I mean, we know they got their votes. I mean,
it certainly appears that they've got their votes. I mean, the city of Toledo, the county commissioner, chair, and Sylvania Township, there's their 3 out of 5 votes. Chief, question.
So, amongst us in the fire division, we're questioning at this point. We have a special meeting, not this week, but the following week on our Lucas County Chiefs meeting. We have a special meeting starting at 6 o'clock just for the consolidation, then we go into our regular meeting. But where I'm going with this is there's a couple areas of clarity that we're looking for. Is one, how are they going to dispatch us? How is our paging system going to work? How is that going to happen? Are we going to be able to use our paging system and the current pagers we have, or are we going to have to now invest into the new 800 pagers, 800 frequency pagers? Ours is a 460 frequency pager. That's what we currently have. And so that could be another financial impact that could be affecting us, that is not in the language of the proposal at this time.
Mm-hmm. Right. My concern is that, and the proposal already is 40 some pages. But that's nowhere near enough to answer all of these kinds of detailed operating questions. And so will all of these operating questions be, well, we'll figure that out later.
And so another area, I'm just going to share the several areas that I have, is tailored to our community. We have a specific set of guidelines that we provide to Oregon for our dispatching needs. Our needs are slightly different than Oregon's because our area is, although we're the same size, we're only one station. So our people, some of our folks have to come from a longer distance, so our lapse time is different than Oregon's. Summarizing that, what I'm explaining is how are we going to individualize our procedures? Because what procedure works for Toledo may not work for Jerusalem Township. You know, I mean, it's just logistically, it's not going to work. So that's an area of, another area of concern that I have. And I agree with you, is yes, we're going into this so fast that I'm not comfortable if this were just, okay, tomorrow's the next day and we're on consolidated dispatch, and then how's this gonna happen? So the last one is, too, is these subjective costs that the township is incurring. For instance, 911 calls or 911 hangup calls. I'm not an expert at this. I'm only repeating information that I've heard from others. But for instance, we have three cellular towers in our community. Springfield Township only has one cellular tower in their community. Sylvania has three cell towers in their community. So each one of those cell towers get hit with a 911 call. Is the perception that that 911 call was a call for help for Jerusalem Township? Or what if the 911 call was for a call for City of Oregon? It just happened to hit the tower of ours. So again, how are they've put some number together to assemble this. And so, you know, I'm reinforcing, we're going from 11,000 or $12,000 a year for dispatching to now $40,000 a year. And you're telling me we have all these calls, and I don't think our township receives that many. So I'm having the conversation with you because I know you have your meeting. We will have ours. If you learn something more from your meeting tomorrow, let me know so I can be prepared for my meeting with the Lucas County Fire Chiefs. Not that we are not the voting decisions. We're just trying to have the accurate information to make sure that we're disseminating that to our politicians and to our community.
You'd think the guys that use it would have a vote. Don't you? I mean,
you would think so. You would think
the ones that are going to
be asking the people that rely on it. Right. Yeah.
And the other thing, Phil, and where Tony's at, is we have the same thing in Ottawa County where we get it all the time. Anybody within a mile and a half, 2 miles of this tower, picks up their cell phone, dials 911. They got a 50-50 chance that it's either going to Ottawa County or Lucas. Mm. And we get them all the time that this call came through Lucas County. Well, how many Ottawa County calls is he going to have to pay for? We're not going to worry about the ones that Ottawa County gets and forwards back, because they technically shouldn't be charged for it, but I'm sure they will. You know, that's something else that's got to be figured out. How many of those calls are they going to pay for that they shouldn't have paid for? And I think that's part of their totals that they're putting in there. Because this happens year after year. It started when they first started the 911 and has never been fixed. Because it used to be, even when you dialed from your home phone, if it had an 836 exchange and your mailing address was Curtis, it went to Lucas County. I don't know that they all still do, but that's the way the calls went.
There's a lot of details that have not been figured out that we don't know. This is moving very, very fast. The decision, I mean, if you step back and look at the structure of the decision-making body, it's pretty clear how that decision's gonna go. The only, in my opinion, the only thing that could change it is if there is a significant upswell of concern from the community, grassroots. And because, you know, there's an awful lot of residents of Lucas County. If a lot of those residents are concerned and unhappy with where this is going, I would think that the county commissioners would have to reconsider their position.
Something with like a jail, when they wanted a certain spot, the people got up and spoke, and yeah, you're right, they're gonna have to do something like that, I'm afraid.
Is there any kind of a petition that you could put out to force this to go in front of the taxpayers instead of the greedy three that sit here that started pushing this because they didn't have the money for their jail? And that's the only way you're ever going to beat it. And I don't agree with the point, well, they have a big stick, because I've never agreed with someone with a big stick. If I don't agree with you, I don't care how big a stick you got, I'm telling you I don't agree with you. It isn't right to just go along just because.
The thing is, there's not been much. There was a quick article in the Metro, very small. I mean, it wasn't real detailed. I don't get the Blade, so I couldn't tell you if there's been anything in the Blade about it that's been real detailed, but.
Not super detailed.
I mean, it's not, there's nothing in there saying that, hey, this township's going to pay this much.
No.
And I think that needs to be out there.
Amen.
All the articles that I have seen have been focused in on what this particular city council or this community feels about it. It's not been, you're right, it's not been global, it's not been, what's the impact going to be collectively?
I had mentioned to Mark today that we should probably talk to the gentleman from the Blade that was out here. What was his
Tom
name?
Tom Henry.
Tom Henry.
He's a reporter.
But at the point, do we want to, as a board of trustees, put our names out there? I mean, you know, it's something that we have to discuss as a board, and is it something that we discuss with our neighbors to the west, Oregon, and say, hey, because it sounds like Oregon's not happy with it.
Yeah. Interesting tidbit, there is the City of Oregon City Council race, there is a write-in candidate by the name of Steve Salander. Steve Salander, in his evenings and weekends, is spearheading a say no to 911 consolidation group. So he is indeed very concerned as well.
Well, instead of you three speaking out, you said you have a meeting Thursday with.
That's just the townships.
The township heads. Well, if nobody in there agrees, why don't you guys come together as a body? That way it isn't just you three. Now it's multiple communities saying we can't afford this, and it's being forced down their throat, or however you want to put it. But that gives it a little more backing, mm-hmm. because now it's not Jerusalem Township, they're just at the east end of the county. And
right.
That might be something to propose at that meeting.
So you know the chair of the...
Chuck?
The Township. I mean, do you want to make a call and ask him if he's invited any reporters to the Thursday
I was just
meeting?
Thinking that. I was just thinking the same thing.
One thing that has not been done is the news media has not been brought into this.
Hmm. What?
Do you got that guy's, that fellow's name again?
I do. Sure.
What time are you planning on leaving Thursday?
What time it starts at 6?
It starts at 6. I don't know where, is it in Monclova?
Yeah, it's an hour's drive, so we have to leave by 5.
It's an hour's drive.
So you want about 4:45?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there?
At least by then.
Well, his name is Tom Henry. I don't have his phone number, though. But I'm sure you can call the Blade and get it.
And he did a really good job.
Oh, yeah.
In the article.
Yeah, he did. He's been reporting on water quality, and he came out... with the dikes.
And they may have somebody else that the Blade may say, hey, well, we're going to send this guy or this gal.
We should have somebody there. Though.
Yeah.
But I'd also suggest maybe, you know, get the press reporter too, because that hits most of our communities.
Yeah, Kelly Kazan.
The Oregon and the Jerusalem community, anyways. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We could throw her in the car with us.
Yeah, we could take her there, sure.
All right, anything else on the 911 right now?
Well, they wanted to know, Chuck kind of wanted to have us vote one way or the other, you know, so when we go in there, we said, well, we voted to say yes or no.
Well, they want us to do it here.
What's the position of our township?
Yeah. He kind of wanted to have something done.
Does he want to know that ahead of time, or does he just want us ready?
Ready when we go there tomorrow night.
If I may, just want to reinforce one more time, as these newer developments of lack of information are
concerning?
And very concerning.
Yes.
And then what guarantee, I know there's not a guarantee, but so they say this year it's, or in the 3 years' time, we're at $40,000. Who's to say that every year it's not going to go up by another 3% or something? The communities now are we're paying for the 911, and the county commissioners are, we've got $3 million. Oh, we can get another $3 million here, and we can just keep doing this, you know. Just like our levy. Our levy right now is slated for 5 years. That's what we've proposed, and I'm hoping, you know, we can get ourselves all adjusted and everything, you know, and see where we're at with that, and hopefully after 5 years, if our levy passes, and, you know, with our extra, then we may be able to diminish back down.
So, Dave, do you want to make the motion to
resolution?
A resolution for us to vote on that right now? I think we all know how we're going to vote.
Oh, I make a resolution that
the position of Jerusalem Township.
Yeah, the position of Jerusalem Township is that we do not agree with the 911 consolidation.
I can second that.
Roll call, Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Done.
Jim? With discussion, I would like to mention this before the vote was, obviously your vote indicates that you're against the
We're not totally against it, Jim, but we would like to have more voice in it and have a little bit more feedback or whatever,
Right, but what I was leading up to saying was it would be more important, this seems to parallel the way the water situation went with Toledo and mm-hmm. the surrounding communities. They went back and were able to restructure it.
Yeah.
What needs to be done here is better structuring, because as Mark states, mm-hmm. the cards are stacked against us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if they could restructure what they're trying to propose, which would be in better alignment with the townships yeah. and the other areas, then it would be more willing to pass.
Yeah, and that's what everybody on the Lucas County Township Board of Townships has said, that we would just like to do what you said right there.
Because I can see that if the citizens get, well, we're totally against that, are they going to understand it's going to cost twice as much than if they go with it?
Yeah.
That's a big, mm-hmm. being against it, it's going to cost you a lot more.
And it's not that we think that that it's the concept is a bad idea, but it's the way that they have structured this.
Exactly.
It's the way they're going about it, the way they're forcing it, and the way that they're moving too fast. And there's way too many questions that haven't been considered.
Forcing it, really.
And the biggest people against Lucas County.
And how are they legally justifying saying that if you don't agree with it, we're going to charge you more money? Sounds like somebody's illegal by making that statement, because they're already giving you a cost that you already know is high, and now they're going to say it could be higher if you don't go along with it. So who's committing the illegal act?
That was my question too, was who gives Lucas County the authority to handpick who's going to get a vote?
And their big stick is they're going to charge back all the sheriff and the non-emergency. They're going to charge it all back. That's mm-hmm. a change in policy.
So how do you get blood from the turnip?
Yep.
You'd say $1 million, good luck with it.
Well, here, bottom line, and this is what our residents are not gonna like, bottom line is if the county forces enough cost back into the smaller communities, then those communities that are townships that have no other way of raising funds except for tax levies that puts townships into a position of they have no alternative but to try to pass an additional levy to raise the monies. And then that means that it all goes on the backs of all of our residents. And you take the other taxing communities. If they don't have the funds either, do they end up looking at possibly raising the income tax, the local income tax? That's the part I don't agree with.
It just sounds like the commissioners at this point are putting money ahead of public safety is what they're doing. They don't care about any of our safety. They just want the money, and that's it.
If you would have voted for the jail, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah, probably right.
Honestly, I do believe if the jail would have passed, you wouldn't be dealing with this right now. All right, anything else? Okay,
let's move on.
Moving on. All right, just left it on here. Obviously, trick or treat, the 31st from 6 to 8.
Yeah, that's out on the website. I also try to push that out on a couple of Facebook groups.
And I think it's been on the news. I've seen it a couple times.
Good.
So, number 8, the electric bills at the intersections. For the streetlights along Route 2. So there was some discussion last meeting that those are state roads. The state should be paying for it. Joel went back and contacted the Edison. I believe it was the Edison, correct, Joel?
The county and the Edison.
Oh, the county and the Edison. And there are resolutions and approvals from prior trustees. One of them was John Henning. The other one, I think, was with Joe Gray and Floyd Teft to have those lights installed.
1989.
Wait,
that was Bono. 1995.
Yes, 95, yeah.
Yeah. I think there was a second one. Wasn't there two
the
of them?
Bono, the Bono. Oh, the Bono one. Tefton. Yeah, Joe did that.
So the only documentation that the Toledo Edison has is what was shared. No documentation from the county engineer. County engineer states that ODOT will not light single intersection locations, all the ones that we are paying for. They'll only light interstate major arteries and signalized locations. So the state, according to the Lucas County engineer, is not going to pay for that light, do anything about it. And so they, and the Lucas County engineer states that they are in agreement that these lights were requested by the township, and that's why we're getting the bill, so that they have no role in that either. And so if we continue to, so I'm violating the use of road and bridge levy money by paying for it from that levy. And the general fund does not have the funds to pay for light intersections. But that's the only way you could pay for those is through general fund money. I mean, right now. And so my only argument is that we set a precedent by paying for property we don't own, lighting on roads that we don't maintain. And then thus makes us responsible for them when the lights are burned out, because the can's burned out. And so we've had this, you know, argument with a stop sign, not argument, but stop signs and then tall grass on county roads that we have to mow for safety. And I'm just worried about that being something that we just will do at another road intersection when somebody brings it up and says that's a dangerous intersection. Why aren't we paying for that too? So I know what you guys talked about, so that's what I know, and I'm not going to get anything else from them because it took this long to get what I have.
I think you got enough.
What we have from those two entities.
What do you think? We discuss it a little bit, you know, the next couple of weeks. Talk it over, see what we can.
I think from a safety standpoint, we have to consider the safety.
Absolutely.
Of maintaining the lighting at those intersections. And yeah, I think we have to.
And I'm for it. I'm for them staying. I don't want to pull them. My only concern is if he's not legally allowed to spend the road and bridge money.
How do we fund it?
How do we fund it?
That's right.
That's what we're gonna have to come up with. And unfortunately, it looks like we've been funding it since what do you say, 96?
1995 was the work order.
95.
So I have no idea how long, you know.
Did you ever look back and see how they paid it? By any chance? Just curious.
No, I'd have to go to like the actual like log books, because the accounting back then was done pretty primitive. Mm-hmm. And it was done with the meeting minutes.
If you had time, could you do that? Just curious.
Well, I don't have anything that I could pull, really, unless I look in there and through like.
Where was it? Was it being pulled from the road and bridge fund when you came into the position?
I couldn't answer that. To be honest, I don't think prior people really paid attention to it.
It was just an electric bill that got paid.
Yeah, and that's, you know, okay, whatever. But when I just asked the question, what does this mean? Because I, you know, we had a rec, you know, the pump for the rec fields, and I saw how expensive that was. I'm like, oh my God, you know, that's got to probably be coming from the right fund. And so to do justice, like for the various funds they need to contribute, like the fire department, you know, that's one big bill for that meter, but it's for the back and the front, and you know, so.
Collins, if we need a reduction.
I'm just more concerned about our like role, because right now Decan Road's burned out. Who's calling? We're paying the bill.
If somebody yeah, brings and the up, bill, we're still being charged for.
We're still being charged for.
Joel, can you? Did you say you had a contact with Toledo Edison or no?
Yeah, the government lady. But as far as the outage of the light, you call the number.
Okay. Could we get that information? The contact for the Toledo Edison. And I think the first thing we'll do is see if number one, if we could possibly get a reduction in cost.
Yeah. If we put out LEDs in or something like right. that.
Yeah. They have a government lady.
All right. Anything else on that? No? All right. Number nine, I forgot to remove that one off the recycling center. All right. Number 10, Charter Communication. I talked to the gentleman in charge. This was to see about getting cable internet and some extra in a certain area of the township. And if more, they're doing a study. He was hoping to have it back today. He called me today about 3:30 and said he does not have the study back. He said we should definitely have it before the next meeting. He was really pushing. He hoped he was going to have it for us today. Didn't have it. I talked to Mark Bressler with ODOT. This is Steve Dunwald's boss. I explained to him the issue we're having with the road washing out and them flooding the properties with their tile going underneath the road. He didn't blow me off. He actually was going to get with Steve. They were going to talk. And he was going to get me a date of when they felt they could have it completed and fixed. He said that this high water this year really tested all their defenses, and they found a lot of weak spots. And he said that they have a very good drainage crew that works for them. And he said that, but that's kind of starting to wind down now because of the weather. But I told him, I go, hey, if you can give me a date of when you guys think you could have that fixed or, you know, something going on, that would be huge, because we haven't been able to get anything out of anybody. So, when I talk to him again, I'm going to ask him also about the lights at the intersections.
Good.
Yeah, if you drive east to here, the state has got pumps all over the place. They're down 19, they're over on 590, they're friggin' all along Route 2.
Yeah.
When you get down around David Kresge, and they've been tasked for what they have. But this is not just a flooding issue. This is a state highway falling apart, and we're within feet of it taking out the edge of the road. Mm-hmm. So, and you don't know what the condition of that is already underneath the road. Mm-hmm. And you got frost coming and the semis beating up and down. It could be like happening on the bridge.
just all of a sudden there's a hole this big in the middle of it.
Yep.
So that, I was happy I got through him. That was through Mike Stormer from Lucas County, so we'll definitely stay on that, and hopefully have more to report. But very nice guy.
You know, they're probably going to have to replace the whole tile underneath the road.
Yeah.
Because, and you know, the bridge is going to be out here in 20, I think.
It would be so a perfect
that'd
time.
That would be a perfect time to do some of this stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
It would.
Well, if you look at the map that I got from the county, it lists the pipe going underneath the road as CR, which is concrete. Did they bring that over quite a ways, then stub on a galvanize? It, but it shows it as concrete coming underneath the road.
And I told him, I said, we got houses that are surrounded by water on three sides. I mean, acres. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's got to be 15 acres there that's underwater constantly.
Or even, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it jumps across the field there to the other farm even.
Yeah. Right. So he pulled it right up on the map. He knew exactly where I was talking about when I was talking to him. So I was very happy to be able to talk to him about it. He seemed like a real nice guy and willing to work with us. He's kind of in charge of three counties. Of everything, so.
Good. Sounds like good progress.
Yeah, it was definitely a good, it was the best progress we've made with it. Everybody else kind of just shut us down. And, you know, I even explained to them that we've got residents now taking it in their own hands, building the catch basins higher and running electric to keep the water from coming up. I said, the only problem with the one at the corner there is it goes into a ditch. So even if they build that catch basin up, it still flows in out of the ditch, and we couldn't shut that down. Okay, Dave, sandbags.
I talked to Quick Light up there at up at the trail there, and I can't think of the name of the road now, but they bag up the concrete mortar and all that, and I couldn't get them to do it. They don't want to, you know, break their line down and do something simple like that.
Okay.
So I talked to Kuhlman's and see if Kuhlman's had anything, and Kuhlman led me on to there's a place on York that bags salt, and I couldn't get a hold of them yet, but just a small operation, and maybe they would do something like that. So I'm making some headway. I've talked to a lot of different people, and the guy from Kuhlman said he was just down in Arkansas or Alabama, and he says they got them all over down there, he said, fillers.
Mm, really?
Yeah, just all over.
Hmm. Wow, okay.
So it's kind of interesting, people you talk to and meet. So we'll see what happens with the salt guy.
Okay.
And I asked Kevin to ask Oregon. He knew who to talk to see how many pallets they would want, you know. So when you do talk to somebody, you say, hey, we need this many pallets or something like that, you know. And well, we got to figure out what they're going to cost, too.
Yeah.
How we're going to pay for it, too. So whatever.
Okay. I had one extra added on here, and this was for Kevin. The gentleman was in here last meeting, Bob Lynn, with the stone. Did you get that? Okay, just want to make sure we were following up with him. Okay, any other old business I missed? Anybody can think of? Okay. New business, Davis Bessie training, October 23rd, tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning, I have to be there at 8:30, I think it is something like that. So that's where I'll be tomorrow morning.
Okay. Mark, you had a complaint on the coyotes.
Yes, I was contacted by a resident, very concerned, out on South Kuzno Road. They've got a camera out and they're spotting coyotes daily, catching them on camera. They're seeing them with the naked eye. You know, it's been, you know, a couple of weeks since she last saw them. You know, You've heard other information from others as well about the presence of coyotes.
I hear them every night in your ditch.
Yeah, you can hear them howling at night. Yeah.
This lady, the property, Dave, that he's talking about, you know, where on Seaman, where ladies' labor camp was there. Well, there's always a coyote den out underneath them high tension towers.
No.
Because they never get disturbed, so they're.
It's weeds and everything. Yep. Yeah.
That's where they den up at, is under them. Nobody ever bothers them. The farmers go by them with their combines, and they stay right there.
She also commented that her neighbor's chickens have all been wiped out by the coyotes.
Don't doubt it.
The state brought them in, you know.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, let them loose, you know, yeah.
The next problem you're gonna have is beavers, because they brought those in.
There are.
Yeah, they have, they brought them in.
They're here, they're.
So, you know, there's gonna be other concerns with those.
Last year at Yondota Road at the bridge there, you could see where the beavers cut trees, in the Cedar Creek there.
Yeah.
Something more for us to clean up.
All right, well, I guess the question is, this is a new one for me. There's concerns on the web of more and more coyote sightings and the coyotes becoming more aggressive. There was one out there on the web not very long ago, but a coyote attacking a little girl. You know, she managed to get clear and get in the house, but it.
Around here?
I don't know where this was.
It wasn't around here, but I saw the video.
Yeah.
It come right up, it come right out of the grass. She was playing in her yard and ran after her.
And she chased her into the house.
Chased her right in the house. It was clear as day.
So, yeah, people are beginning to get concerned about their family's safety. You know, what? This is a new one.
Not much we can do.
Do we, do we need to investigate? These aren't protected animals. They're still considered to be varmints, right?
Yep, there's no season on them.
Chief?
I just as a suggestion, I would reach out to both the Ottawa Wildlife Refuge for those gentlemen, Division of Wildlife, and the state park officers, and see if maybe you might be able to organize just a meeting, and just for a FYI information meeting, and see, you know, what they know and see it in their activities, as well as what are the laws and are all of a sudden we're gonna have a massive hunt where people are gonna go out and just, you know, mass kill all these things.
Yeah, but it's still of. It's in a residential area. I mean,
well, I'm just saying this is.
They used to take.
My fear would be it would go in that manner.
I don't know if you remember, Tony, but remember they used to go fox hunting. They'd take pickups, old cars, they'd chase the foxes across the field and everything. It was quite a thing.
Usually some alcohol was involved, too.
Probably. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think there was.
Firearms and alcohol, not a good idea. Okay, that's fine. I'll reach out to the Ohio Wildlife Refuge and the state park.
No, hunting and beer, just some guidance.
I'm just not even sure where to start with.
And the
this.
Fed's giving you some professional
good
advice.
Thank you. All right, I will report back on what I hear next time.
All right. Last thing I had for new business on here was the dispatching agreement with Oregon.
So,
and Joel's got the paperwork.
The city of Oregon wants a resolution accepting an increase of 2.75%, so they're not too worried about losing their dispatching for next year. But from January 1st, 2020 through the end of the year 2020, in the amount of $11,709.30. From Exhibit A attached.
I guess they got to get it out, so.
Yeah. So I'm just looking for, they gave me the great form to fill out, so I just need somebody to make a motion and second for the resolution. Just read that first page from, you know, please and thank you.
Chief, I'm assuming that you're reasonably satisfied with the support from Oregon Dispatching?
Absolutely, yeah. I've already read that document yesterday.
Is it plenty of paper? Yes, it is. Any objections?
I don't have any.
Yeah, I move for approval of the 2020 proposal from Oregon, which reflects a 2.75% increase over 2019. Total cost for 2020 of $11,709.30.
You know, it's really not too bad to increase, really, if you figure wages and everything, probably.
Put it in perspective, it's a deal.
I can second that motion.
Roll call, Dave Bedge.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Biller.
Yes.
Motion carried. I'm gonna have you sign this one before you leave, please.
I don't think it's went up for a while. I don't remember.
Any other new business? Nothing. Okay. Public participation. Come on, Barb. You sat through all that and you got nothing?
There's nothing on TV tonight.
All right.
I can truth about the coyotes.
No.
Now she's going to be, you're going to have to walk her to her car tonight.
They don't like the
dust. So, all right. Seeing no public participation, looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I stuck it up.
Roll call, Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned.